All right, so what we're going to show you here is the new SQL Azure portal that's hanging off of the Windows Azure portal. Here you can see we're at the top level portal. We can basically just drill into the management portal here. And on the left-hand side, you can see that we've got this database option. If we select the database option, you can see that we've got all our different database elements here. Specifically, we click on a database, click on Manage up here in the ribbon. That opens up the Microsoft SQL Azure portal. Now, this is great because what this allows us to do is actually have all of our collaborative features, or all of the features, really, when we're working on SQL Azure, such as administration and design, viewing capabilities, queries, all the stuff that you normally would need to open up a separate tool, we can actually do that here within the portal. So, for example, here, we've got a view into the different tables that make up my School of Fine Arts database. You can see that I've got a query here that I've issued, select all from people, directly from within the actual portal that provides the same results down here. Of course, we can do other things here in the design view, such as select a particular database, look at or a table and look at the dependencies across our database. The point is, lots of different elements that we can actually manage it through our database within this portal experience here, again, rather than opening up a separate tool. Now, this is a great new thing. There's lots of new features within Windows Azure. You can check them out by going to the portal here. And again, hit Database, Manage, and that gets you into the SQL Azure portal.
Welcome to the Knowledge Chamber. I'm your host, Robert Hess. Windows Azure is a technology that allows us to put an awful lot of data and processing in the cloud to make your applications run better, make your businesses run better, and make things scalable. Here to talk about Windows Azure and some of the key capabilities that are in Windows Azure and coming out for Windows Azure are Paul Stubbs and Steve Fox. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks.
Now, before we get started, I understand you guys, in addition to simply being evangelists for Windows Azure and talking about technology, you're also doing a pre-con seminar at TechEd, right?
Correct.
And so a lot of the stuff we're going to be talking about here, plus some stuff we can't quite talk about, you guys going to be covering at that seminar?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. So now we got that out of the way. Let's just talk about Windows Azure and what is it?
So, if I were to describe it to a layperson, I always say that Windows Azure is the operating system in the cloud. Yeah, that's kind of a reduction way to look at it. I think there's many parts to Windows Azure. You could think of it as, Windows Server 2008 instance in a data center that allows you to drop data, services, code. You can re-platform, build websites, many types of things within this general rubric of cloud computing.
Now, when we think about cloud computing, we have this kind of technical term, platform as a service. It's a generic concept of cloud computing, and Windows Azure is Microsoft's instance of platform as a service as an offering.
So why is it important, though? Why would I want to pay attention to it? I mean, I've been living so long without having this cloud-based capabilities. Why now?
Well, it's interesting because if we think about IT infrastructure today, for example, and there's many different facets you can look at Windows Azure and find benefits, but one particular area we're looking at is scalability, right? So, for example, I run a data center today. I have all these instances of servers, these rack servers that are in my data center, and they're really only being used 10% of the time. So why would I want to do that when I could actually provision, space or, put code into a data center where I can actually take advantage of that scalability where I don't necessarily have to pay for my infrastructure 10% of the time when, I'm paying for it 100% of the time rather when it's only being used 10% of the time, as opposed to putting applications in a place where they can scale up and down and I effectively pay per use in that model. So that's one of the great reasons why we're seeing, and in conversations with customers, this type of cost optimization and hardware optimization really resonates. So, for example, last week sat down with a very big bank in the UK, and they were talking about help us optimize these ERP applications that we have. They have hundreds of ERP applications, and yet they're using them, at full capacity for 4 hours a week. Azure becomes this perfect place where we can take and migrate those applications and scale up and scale down as per use, and instead of actually, having that, 10% use against 100% cost of those apps.
So that'd be kind of like the old timeshare systems that, I used to operate in college and stuff like that, where it'd be a big computer, everyone had access to it, but they'd get their own little slice of time, and if someone had a big project they were working on, they could take and increase their slice of time to take care of what they needed, but when they were using it, it wasn't really a budget against their department because the computer department was taking care of everything.
Yes, yeah.
A little bit like that, but back then we think about we had one computer that we sliced up. you know, Windows Azure is thousands.
A very big computer, though.
Well, Windows Azure is really thousands and thousands and thousands of computers spread around the world that we are able to divide up, if you will. And so the difference is we, in essence, have an unlimited scalability factor. We can just keep adding more and more servers, as opposed to the old kind of computing where you had a finite amount of resources, right? So we really do have the ability to scale to very, very large projects, and like Steve says, scale down as well. So when we're done using them, we can minimize them to the exact resources we need.
And what's interesting also is if you look at the data centers where all of these rack servers are hosted, it's a very much green IT environment. I had a chance to visit one of the data centers a couple weeks ago. We're talking, you know, huge data centers, thousands and thousands of servers, air-cooled as per a local environment, right? Redundancy across the entire data center. These data centers are so sophisticated. It'll blow your mind if you actually get a chance to go and take a look at them. But the point is, I mean, this is the way of the future, right? You know, multi-tenancy in these data centers that are more, you know, green IT than we could imagine at this point, and ever-evolving. So it's a very, very interesting space. I think it's the way of the future if we think about, you know, companies taking advantage of this multi-tenant cost-optimized model, scale up, scale down as per needs and as per, you know, the application dictates. So it's exciting to see finally Windows Azure come online. And obviously, you know, Scott Guthrie is helping push the developer story there, which is really exciting for us. And for us in our organization, we do a lot of customer engagements where we're talking about them, you know, building proof of concept on Windows Azure. So we're dealing a lot with the reality of what they're trying to do with it and how they can use it.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of the developer story for Windows Azure, so let's say I'm a IT department or something like that, and I've got a bunch of applications that are currently being deployed across my enterprise. How hard is it to take and use Windows Azure within an existing set of applications?
Well, I think, you know, Windows Azure is just simply, Windows Server at its core, right? And so if you're running ASP.NET kind of applications today, those applications should port over with minimal effort and run in kind of the platform as a service model of Windows Azure, right? And that gives you the scalability features at your disposal once you move those apps over. So for certain types of applications like those, they move over very easily. Some other type of applications, so there are some challenges. If you're using third-party code or if there are other dependencies that you have on-premise, those will take some work to move over.
So like, you know, hard coding a data dependency on C:\ my drive, my systems, that's probably right. It's not something works well with Azure.
Right. Yeah. And those aren't generally good practices anyway. So if you're following fairly good practices and you're doing things the way that, you know, is prescribed, a lot of those applications move very easily.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the interesting things about Azure, there's a generation of new business models, right? It's not just about migration. It's not just about, hey, scaling up and scaling down. It's about how can we take advantage of Windows Azure to build new businesses. You know, for example, the Windows Azure Marketplace is a good example of this, right? We have all this data, so why can't we harvest this data and begin to effectively sell it based on a subscription basis, right? So if you're a company and you're generating great marketing data or great useful, you know, demographic data, why not put it out there as another avenue to make money for your company? And so the point is, I mean, that's just one example of many examples where you can begin to think about cloud computing and Windows Azure as a very cost-effective way to generate new business models.
Especially now, as we have the mobile devices and device proliferation is sort of the next wave of computing, Azure really becomes that central spot for communicating, controlling, working with those devices, and it really becomes a very scalable platform for millions of devices.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it sounds like not only is it allowing new business models to come up of reusing what you've currently got, the resources you might be using just internally by putting them on Azure, but it probably even has an idea of new types of applications that might be able to take advantage of because of this new cloud model.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at one of the key things is over here on my screen here, we've got Scott Guthrie's keynote on Channel 9, Getting Started with Windows Azure. He talks about some of the new support for the technology that goes beyond the Microsoft technology, right? So it's almost like you can't really be a citizen of the cloud without actually embracing other languages and platforms in the cloud, right? And so that's the nice thing to see Node.js support, Java support, all these other, you know, Hadoop support, all these other different technologies that are very, very important, and now we can bring together in this one core cloud computing platform.
So who exactly is Azure for? I mean, is it for the only the big enterprises or the small little shops or what?
No, it's actually not. I mean, so our core audience in our group right now is a lot of enterprises, and we're kind of working with large scale customers. But if you look at, you know, some of the programs across Microsoft, we're seeing, you know, BizSpark and really quick uptakes in small and medium sized businesses. The reason is they don't necessarily have to provision their own IT infrastructure. They can effectively rent it out and get started very, very quickly. And so again, this is one of the core advantages they come back to. Not only that, but in the spirit of building these new business models, they can go ahead and leverage the cloud to build out that new business model in an environment where they don't have to carry that IT infrastructure.
Yeah, I mean, I think Azure really levels the playing field for a lot of people. If you think about startups, right? There's not a large capital investment to do a startup these days, right? You go out and you buy some Azure resources and you pay as you grow. And so as you need more abilities, you add more services, and the utility-based pricing of Azure, you just keep paying, you know, as your usage goes up. And so it becomes very easy for small companies and small individuals to get started and really bring big ideas to the marketplace, you know.
So if you're a small company, had some sort of idea for a shared database amongst your friends for storing, let's say, your recipes at or something mm-hmm. like that, and suddenly your friends were then sending that recipe information off to other people, yeah. and rather than just being the 20 people originally I wanted, suddenly I've got 1,000 people using mm-hmm. it, or 4,000, 5,000
right.
people using it.
Right.
If it was on Azure, I wouldn't have to change my server from server right. A to server B to server C, or increase my cost just because it might get larger. That's it's just right. automatically done on one of these platforms.
Well, another practical example, it's a little more about human survival, is think about the volcano, right, that went off, and all of a sudden people are, you know, in crisis mode, and then some of these crisis sites are being hit. You know, millions and millions of hits, more than they would get a day, and they have to scale up very quickly. I mean, normally, you know, ISPs wouldn't be able to handle that. Azure's a perfect candidate if you think about putting your website there. All of a sudden, in crisis mode, boom, you can scale up and scale down. Again, you know, and along the lines of that bank we were talking to, in moving these ERP applications, again, over to the cloud, it was, I only need 4 hours a week. You know, I don't want to pay for 24/7 at 100%. Well, I don't need 4 hours.
You're trying to watch your budget and pick the
exactly. And a lot of these guys are in cost reduction right now, right? And so the cloud computing avenue really makes sense for them. And so it's not just about scaling up and scaling down for the practical reason of my site going down. It's about how can I save money and better leverage this thing called the cloud and open up new business models and so on and so forth.
And we see that a lot. Like, one of the common scenarios that we have a lot of companies doing is kind of disaster recovery in the cloud, right? Like, you may have an on-premise site that has 10 servers, and if you want to have a failover site, you have to have another 10 servers sitting there cold or in warm standby. So what do? You move those 10 servers to Azure, and it's quick and easy to spin up those 10 instances if you have a disaster scenario. Mm-hmm. And so you don't need the capital to have those mirrored servers on-premise. Mm-hmm. You can run that mirror in the cloud.
And I'll throw one other thing out there. As we think about our software as a service story, right? You think about Office 365. It's really important to think about Azure as that place where you can deploy customizations, to have that full cloud experience, right? And so I think PaaS, in the context of, you know, deploying code and data into Windows Azure, becomes a very, very important prospect to begin to flesh out the custom solutions for our Office 365 offerings. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, in general, it's just really exciting kind of seeing all these different paths that you can chase down. And, I mean, we mentioned four or five here, but there's a wide array of different options that you have with the cloud, and especially with Windows Azure. And surely, as we move towards the spring and summer, you're going to see lots more. As you mentioned before, we can't talk too much about it now. But, you know, as per the pre-con workshop at TechEd, we're going to be talking a lot about that stuff. And it's going to be super exciting. So hopefully people will come out and they'll be attending the TechEd pre-con workshop.
Great, great. And where else should they be going for more information about Windows Azure if they need it?
I mean, Channel 9's doing a really good job. I think ultimately if they want to get started, you go here, windowsazure.com. That's the first place to get started. You can get a free trial if you've never used Windows Azure before. You can learn all about the features, scenarios, the case studies. But if you're a developer, I think once you've gone through this, Channel 9 is a great place. You know, they've got the cloud cover show that's running there, and so lots of resources there. Do you have anything?
Well, again, to talk about the pre-con, since we're putting together that content now, yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of interesting content, a lot of content that people haven't seen. But we're going to also talk about a lot of real-world scenarios, like what are customers really doing with the product, yeah. right? And that's just information that's very hard to come by, that real-world experience. And the hundreds of customers that we're working with now will just bring all that knowledge together and show that at the pre-con, so mm-hmm. it's a great...
And you're doing this pre-con both at the North America Tech Ed as well
and as the European one, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
and it's a day-long.
It's day-long. I think there's 6 or 7 sessions. We're looking at finalizing the agenda now, but the point is, it's all geared towards real world. It's all taking some of the new features that you're going to be seeing that'll come out and applying those to real world design patterns and the scenarios that we're talking to customers now about. And in fact, in some cases, building out early prototypes for these guys because they're under NDA and some of the special programs we have here at Microsoft. But in general, if you're looking to get that real world aspect, as Paul says, I mean, this is a great opportunity to come out, have a conversation with guys who are sitting with customers architecting, you know, on a day in, day out basis right now with Windows Azure.
And I suppose since this video, when it goes out there, is going to have a national discussion thread underneath, and you guys are still in the process of finalizing the details, if somebody puts some things about things that they want to see in the pre-con seminar, you might be able to actually put it in there, maybe.
Sure. If
there's still time to get your voice. <question. laughs>
We'll see what happens. Well, thanks for joining us. I'm glad to get this information about what Windows Azure is and what's moving on the product and how we can take and focus on developing great applications that are deployable and scalable using this product in the cloud, as well as hearing about the pre-con seminar you're doing and some of the great things that have been going on there.
Great. Okay. Thanks very much.
Hopefully you enjoyed this episode of the Knowledge Chamber, where we talked about Windows Azure, what it's currently capable of doing, as well as maybe some hints on where it might be going in the future. You want to take and check out the TechEd Precon seminar that's coming up in both TechEd North America as well as TechEd Europe. And if you've got some input on what you'd like to see in the seminar, I think these guys might be listening to what's going on in the discussion thread below. So put your questions there, and let's see what happens. Thanks for joining us.